TED Audio Collective.
So, Frances, for the past 3 months, I have been watching you avoid a part of your day job that you do not like.
Yes.
Which is, I think, one of the themes of our conversation today. I'm not going to name it, but I'm going to name the pattern, which is I watch you avoid, ignore. I mean, is this a fair assessment?
It's a totally fair assessment. I will go to great lengths to avoid what turns out to be 8 hours of work. You know what? 4 hours of work. I spent 3 months avoiding 4 hours of work.
And yes. It takes up a huge amount of space. And the avoidance piece takes up a huge amount of space. Is that?
No, it's 4 hours either way. Why I do it at the end of 3 months as opposed to the beginning of the 3 months continues to be a mystery.
So I was thinking about how we coach people through this one, because I think we're better at giving advice.
Oh, much.
Than,
well, I
than
am. You're
than
good. You're,
I'm being yeah. I'm being generous.
Okay.
When I say we.
Yeah.
But what coaching would have helped you?
Yeah. So when I'm avoiding, I don't realize all of this precious calculus. I'm just
right.
avoiding it emotionally in the moment. So if you can snap me out of it, that Moonstruck scene, snap out of it. If you can snap me out of it, perhaps with a frame of this is going to take 4 hours regardless of when you do it. So now let's decide when you're going to do it.
Right. Let me ask you this just to estimate the level of pain you are anticipating in completing the task versus the actual pain you experience completing the task.
Here's the dirty little secret. I actually like the task.
That's what I observed.
Yeah.
You actually enjoyed it.
I enjoy it. I'm really good at it. I make a big difference when I do it. So this is all just getting from my current state to breaking through the armor I've put on that task to get to the other side.
Yeah. Well, I think there's two scenarios. There's a task that you are anticipating you're not going to like, it's going to be hard, and that's fairly accurate. And then there's a task that you're misreading in terms of the level of difficulty.
I would say for me,
yeah,
it's more than 90% of the time I'm a reframe away from actually enjoying the task. There's very little about work that I can't frame to enjoy because we have so much flexibility in how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
So but I take a disastrous frame,
right.
attach it to it, and then avoid it.
I think you do. You place a
catastrophic frame
on the task, which and then it's totally rational to avoid
yes.
it for as long as
long as I possibly can.
Until like your job is on the line,
yes.
and then you will do it.
Yes. Whereas imagine that there was a task that I really didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
I'll use a silly one, but in our household, I really don't like putting dishes into the dishwasher because the dishwasher could be on and water spills out. So that's like a fraught task for me.
High stakes,
really yeah. fraught. I really don't like doing that task. So to do that, I think you have to give me Scooby snacks for doing it. Like I need all of the encouragement to do it. But for the vast majority of tasks, I can reframe it. But the dishwasher, I can't reframe. That's just fraught.
I'm just trying to the experiments I've run to try to
oh,
get you to put
so
dishes
delicious.
Into the dishwasher.
So delicious.
I think the only one that I recall ever working is for me to say, honey, there are now two of us in the house. So if you don't put your dish away, it's just very clear to me.
Who I think who, should put it away. And that horrifies
who
me.
Who it was.
Yeah.
I think so there was...
Yeah.
No, I had to resort to shame
yeah.
which didn't feel great. Yeah.
No, for you. But it worked for me because you were like, if you don't put the dishes in the dishwasher, I have to. Bam.
Yeah.
It's reframed
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, that was the phrase.
That was
the phrase that broke through.
Yes.
If you don't do this, then it means I'm doing this.
And I was not doing it to leave you work. That horrifies me. I was not doing it because I didn't want to do it. I hadn't thought it all the way through.
So before you attach a catastrophic storyline to the task, try a reframe.
It's really beautiful advice.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Fixable. I'm Ann Morris. I'm a company builder and leadership coach.
And I'm Frances Fry. I'm a professor at the Harvard Business School, and I'm Ann's wife.
On this show, we believe that meaningful change happens fast, anything is fixable, and solutions are often just a single conversation away.
Who do we have today, Anne?
Frances, today we're talking with the comedian Chris Duffy, who is part of the TED Audio Collective family. Chris hosts the podcast How to Be a Better Human. He's written for shows like Problem Areas on HBO, and he also does stand-up.
Wow. Do we know what he's calling about?
We do, and it's a doozy. Chris is calling about social media, and specifically how to use it without sounding like, and this is his word, a sociopath.
Oh my goodness. I relate to the discomfort with social media. It can feel forced and inauthentic, especially if you feel like you have to use it.
Yeah, I really feel this one because this is pain that I share. So let's get into it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everybody, it's Neil. I've got some huge news. Decoder is moving to Mondays and Thursdays. We're adding a second episode of the show. On Mondays, we'll have our classic interviews with CEOs and other troublemakers.
I think we're going to have to start having conversations about how do we pay those jobs that can't be done by AI.
And on Thursdays, we'll be explaining big topics in the news with Verge reporters, experts, and other friends of the show.
There's a new generation of people on the internet. Google search has always sucked for them. So, you know, there's no reason for them to be loyal. They can just go to TikTok.
This is going to be really fun. I'm very excited about all this. So go subscribe wherever you get your podcasts now.
Oh, Chris Duffy, welcome to Fixable.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
So start us off with your question. What inspired you to come on the show today?
Well, it's funny because I struggle to even talk about this because I think it's kind of embarrassing, which I think is actually the root of the problem that we can get to. But basically, I have this career that I love where I get to be a writer and a podcast host and a comedian. And all of those things are public facing, but they also require people to know about my work and people to know about my work who can hire me, people to know about my work who can listen and read and buy tickets. And I have never really had a big social media following. And I'm constantly being told by people I work with that it would be easier for me and frankly, easier for them if I was more active on social media and got a bigger social media following. And so I'm kind of torn because I very much want to like go to the next level in my career. I want to have a, you know, make it easy to give me a yes when I am pitching a project or when I'm trying to do something new. But I also struggle with feeling like social media is bad for my brain and bad for the world. And I know that it's not that exact binary, but I have never figured out how to kind of be consistent in a way that both feels natural and authentic to me and also grows my audience, which even saying grows my audience. Ugh.
I can see you cringe.
Yep.
So what would success on this call look like? You would be less embarrassed. You would feel enthusiasm for this task.
If I'm being totally honest, my ultimate success would be you all being like, here is a way to grow your career without doing the thing that you hate doing. Like, here's the magic wand that you can just do it and it's easy and you don't have to do the annoying thing that feels kind of gross. I imagine that might not exist. So I would say my secondary form of success would be, how can I figure out how to use these tools in a way that feels sustainable and works? Because I think the worst case scenario for me is that I'm doing all of this and it's not even working.
Right. So for some context, Frances and I are also terrible at social media.
Okay, great. Well, and, this is the perfect people to come to.
Yeah, then. And we also feel a lot of pressure to be a lot better at it at this moment in our lives. And so this is, I think this is going to be a little bit of group therapy as well as we find our way to a solution here. So Chris, let's back it up. You are a professional comedian. This is how you identify. Is that fair to say?
Yes. A comedian, a writer, a podcast host, but it's all under the realm of trying to connect with people and often through humor.
The act of getting up on a stage with a microphone and a spotlight has a very, like, from one angle, a very self-promotional look at me feel to it. What's different about that than the idea of posting something on social media for you?
Well, I think one of the things that is different about it is that it's limited, right? It's time limited. Is that I'm not on stage 24 hours of the day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. So there's kind of, I can put some boundaries around it that it feel very like clear, right? And I think the other thing is that the risk of saying something wrong in a theater is pretty low. I understand people have this real fear of like bombing when they think about doing stand-up comedy. But in practice, if you're really bad, people just don't laugh and then they don't remember you. And if you're good, they remember you. And I feel like that's maybe not true on social media.
And the stakes are high if you get it wrong is also what I hear you saying.
Yeah.
Like there is a permanent footprint of Chris at his lowest.
Yes. I think, though, I know that people always really are into this concept of like cancel culture. And that's not really something that I buy into 100%.
Okay.
And that's not what I'm afraid of. I'm not like afraid of posting something and getting canceled. I'm more afraid of like having a thing that people can easily scroll through that's cringeworthy.
What's a recent example of a high point for you? You think about the last 6 months when you felt like I am feeling and getting exactly what I came for in this job.
I mean, a huge high point has been I recently sold my first book. I'm writing it now. It's a nonfiction book about how to have a sense of humor and why that matters and kind of trying to redefine exactly what people think of as a sense of humor. Because I think people often think it's like
so cool.
Being the funny person in the front of the room. And I'm like, I think it's actually being able to notice the weird things in the world and in yourself and laugh about them. So that's a big thing. And it ties in exactly to this because part of the process of that is like, I don't want to write a book and have no one read it. And my publisher doesn't want that and no one wants that.
I want to ask about whose careers you admire right now. Mm. And then there are people on social media whose presence you admire.
Yeah, I think I have a few friends who I have seen from the beginning and I've seen how they do this really, really well. The comedian and TV writer Karen Chi, I think is like, she's so funny. I think she's so great at social media. And I think she's very like kind and supportive to people on that. I also think Josh Gondelman is someone who his career I admire. I'm really lucky to have him as a friend. And something that Josh told me early when I was starting and he had been a few years ahead of me is I was complaining about how to get booked on stand-up shows, you have to send people emails that are kind of annoying them. Like you have to say, hey, I just want to follow back. Would you have me on the show this Wednesday? Hey, just wanted to follow up. Do you have any openings? And Josh said, well, that's the job. Like the job is sending people the emails and then you get to do the comedy. And that really changed how I thought about sending those emails because I just hated bothering people. And he was like, well, that's, you know, getting past that is the work. And he's been hugely successful in social media. And I think he's been really good at, you know, thinking like, how do I do this in a way, but also like treat it like a job, which it is.
That's so beautiful, and it's going to be fun to be in the solution. But so I think I'll do the diagnosis, which is at its highest level, you know, there's content and there's distribution. Mm. And you're magnificent at the content. And you're a multi-hyphenate content provider, right? A multi-sport athlete. And that's really awesome. And it's now the distribution. Social media in 2023 is the lowest cost distribution channel. That is, it's hard to go from 0 to 1, but it costs almost nothing more to go from 1 to 100 or 1,000 or 10,000.
Mm. It's so interesting. I mean, I feel like it's very powerful. I'm genuinely saying this. This isn't just for the sake of the podcast. Like, I feel moved to in an internal way just hearing you put it in those terms, because it does feel so much less loaded to think of it as a distribution problem.
Right.
It's really interesting to think about it in those terms.
Francis, kick us off with some of the ideas that have bubbled up for you.
Yeah. So the only work for you, I think, is going to be what is the right rhythm for you? It's going to be once or twice a week. I wouldn't do it any more than that. And it'll be, you know, bigger stuff, whereas some other people get to do it intraday, but that's because it is energy producing to them to do it intraday. I don't think anyone on this call, it's energy producing to do it intraday.
I don't know. I'm not willing to concede that, Francis.
All right.
Because I think there is some work before we get to the posting schedule.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest, which is reframing this task for all of us.
Yeah.
Because, Chris, the little that I have experienced of what you're putting out in the world, and now I'm like going to be a voracious consumer of it.
And I'm going to be a great ambassador.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's one of the threads across everything you do is it's fundamentally not about you. Like, you are there on a mission to make us in the audience better, smarter, to spark joy, to feel more connected. And you're doing that incredibly well. And then the people that you admire most in this space and in the world are also doing that incredibly well. And so for me, it's figuring out how can we bring that version of you into the social media world, and how can we think about it as just an extension of the canvas? So you write books, you do podcasts, you do really short form content, which is also known as social media. And every once in a while, because we want to feel joy, be connected to you, be smarter and better, you tell us how we can continue to get access to you. But the rest of the time, it's just a short form version of what you do everywhere else in the world. And the account that I love is Amy Sedaris.
Oh, I love her. Yes.
Right.
So bizarre and strange in the best possible way.
In the best possible way. So it'll be like a series of bizarre appetizer photographs. And then it'll be like dog butts that look like humans, or it'll be like group exercise videos from the 70s and 80s. And it is just sparking joy. And if you go on, I just know her Instagram presence, but it's hard to find her promoting herself in a literal way, in the way that I suspect makes you feel like a sociopath. I mean, once every 30 posts, she's like, oh, here's a clip when I was on this show. But when she's promoting, she's usually promoting other people. And that's, if I were coaching you on this, this is where I would push you to start, is you have to post daily, but you cannot self-promote. The rule in the beginning is you have to use social media to do something, but you're not allowed to self-promote in the beginning.
It's really interesting to hear that, because one of the things that I've done really consistently for a decade now is put out this newsletter every Saturday. And it started because I was like, I have to tell people about my live shows, but I was not doing it. I was only sending it way too infrequently. And then someone was like, well, why don't you, or maybe I came up with this idea of, why don't I recommend things that other people are doing that I love? And then I'll also have my tour dates in there. And so every week I send this newsletter with a little story about me, and then three things that, something I think is great, something I think is funny, something I think is interesting, that were not made by me. And because it feels focused on other people, I do that every Saturday. I've done that every Saturday for a decade, and it's fun and I enjoy doing it. But I never thought about putting that into social media. So obvious now that you say it.
Totally. And I think you're going to find your special, like, Chris Duffy TM lane, which is how you're going to use it. But for sure, it is not going to be primarily self-promotional, because that runs counter to everything that you stand for in the world.
One of the only times that I've truly had a great time on social media was on LinkedIn, because I, as a comedian, thought, like, I probably won't ever have a purpose for LinkedIn, right? Like, I don't have like a resume. It's not how people get jobs. And so I was exploring it, and I was kind of laughing as a my first time on there, that when you put a job up, they don't confirm that you work at that place. And so I wanted to see how far up the ladder that would go. And so just as a way to test it, when I created a profile, I said, my name is Chris Duffy and I am the CEO of LinkedIn. And then it not only allowed me to do that, but LinkedIn emailed everyone in my contact book and said, congratulate Chris on his new job as CEO of LinkedIn. And so for the next year, I was the CEO of LinkedIn on LinkedIn. And then I received a message from Faith at LinkedIn Trust and Security saying, we're concerned that you are not who you think you are. And I said, that's pretty rude for someone who works for me. And then they permanently deactivated my account. So I have to create a non-banned LinkedIn account if I want to get back on there.
All right. So maybe we're not going to start with LinkedIn.
No, it might be a great place.
We'll make a few calls. We'll rebuild the relationship. LinkedIn is an interesting one because it's the norms are very narrow to like what you're allowed to do and say and talk about. Here's how I get stuck. And maybe you two can help me on this. So I get to quote Brené Brown because I'm a lesbian of a certain age. And she often talks about hustling for worthiness. And so for me, being on social media forces me to confront that behavior because it's this like tyrannical machine that reminds me that I am like craving the world's love. Like, do you love me now? What about now? Do you love me now? And we're going to like measure that with likes. And that's why I get scared of this machine, because I don't like the version of me that shows up for it.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I again, if you were to sit in my actual therapy sessions, something that I've talked about a lot is trying to get past the idea that I'm building a case for myself, that I'm like assembling evidence and testimonials and eyewitness reports that are going to like prove in the trial.
No, listen, like if you just put in those three beautiful things that you say in every newsletter, that would be amazing, because then people will start to go towards that.
Mm. Or that, but and Francis, I love that, and I want to layer on the mission here. Yes, so more people can get access to the amazing Chris Duffy. But I also want it to be a vehicle for you to spark joy and make me smarter and make me better and make me feel more connected to my world and make me understand hard things. And the only difference is that you're limited by these very short forms. Mm. And the fact that other people are using it primarily to self-promote is not material to your mission.
Mm. Okay, here's my other... this is all so, so helpful. And here's my other hiccup or hang up when it comes to this. I think the entertainment industry and social media share a kind of like understanding of the world in some ways, which is that like it's easiest to make you very successful if you can immediately and simply be placed into a box. And something that I've struggled with is like not wanting to be just in one box, right? Like I want to do a show that is in the world of like self-improvement. I also want to do things that are just funny. I also want to do things that are educational. And I sometimes struggle with like, how do I figure out what my box is? And is there one, or am I actually in like four or five?
It's just going to make you more interesting, because there are some people that are like, I would say Amy Sedaris is not one box. Hmm. And we can think of some popular people who are one box. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they're going to be your role models necessarily. So I think it makes you more interesting to do that. You'll get variety seeking people.
Yeah. That's for the people who I want to get, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the themes between the boxes, I mean, I think you're not going to be one box in terms of medium. I mean, what's so fun about this conversation for me is you are so perfectly designed to run experiments in social media, because you get something from playing in all these different sandboxes.
Mm.
You know, books, podcasts, stand up, like you love the challenge of translating, you know, your message to these various media. But to me, the message seems like the thread that stays constant. Like the values stay constant, the mission stays constant, and the landscape change and the vehicle changes and the stages change.
I love that.
But who you are presents to us as really, really clear and really clearly defined.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to hear you say that. I feel like I genuinely feel like this conversation has led to some big breakthroughs for me in terms of like framing this. And I thought it'd be great and fun, but I was like, am I going to have some sort of giant philosophical breakthrough? This is something I've been working on. And now I'm like, oh, I think you actually have really helped me in this huge thing. And one thing that it's coming up for me is I find this happens a lot when I am talking to other people about their creative pursuits, which is that like I can see it so clearly from the outside. And, you know, I've heard someone say, I wish I could remember who the source of this quote was, but I've heard someone say that we all have a blind spot in our lives that's the exact size and shape of ourselves. Yeah. And I think that this is, you know, I'm realizing that this is me kind of coming up against like, I don't know how to define myself from the inside, but I don't necessarily need to. Like, everyone else is going to see it clearly. I can just do the things that are authentic.
Maybe the clearest photo I've ever seen of a human.
And the picture's beautiful. Like, the clarity is beautiful and the picture itself is beautiful, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, Chris, we're professionally obligated to ask what you're going to do differently as a result of this conversation.
Well, I think that I'm going to, I mean, I feel like there have been so many practical, concrete things to do. So I'm certainly going to, you know, think about posting differently, to think about it as like, it doesn't have to get this sort of big reaction or lead to self-promotion. But I also think that probably the biggest things that I'm going to do differently are the mental reframing around this. I think that like, the idea of having content and needing distribution is one big piece that I think really frames it super clearly for me. And then I also think that, the idea, Anne, that you brought up of like, you can post a bunch of different things and people will want that as well. You don't have to limit it so that people then can only get a limited thing. That has been a big roadblock to me.
And it's not just a vehicle to get access to other things. I think this is where I want to push you on framing. This is not just a vehicle to get access to your other art, your other content, your other comedy.
It's short
create
form.
A short form experience for us that is contained within these media. There aren't many humans walking the planet who are truly up for the task, but you, Chris Duffy, I can guarantee are one of them. You have to create an experience. And maybe not every post, but when I land, give me something that I can take away just from the post.
It's funny because I imagine you could say that to other people and they would feel like that's really overwhelming. But to me, that does feel exciting. You know, don't think about it as like, you know, whatever, quote unquote, social media. Instead, think about it as like creating a short form experience.
Yeah.
So to close us out, Chris, how can our listeners find you on social media?
Okay. Well, on Instagram, I'm at Chris I. Duffy, the letter I, and same thing on TikTok. And then you can also find me on everything at ChrisDuffyComedy.com.
Amazing.
Awesome. So thank you.
Thank you so much. This was really great. I had a great time. It exceeded my already high expectations.
It was very mutual. You've been an awesome guest, Chris, and you won 2 new followers.
That's how it goes. 2 at a time.
Except TikTok. We're afraid of TikTok.
Very afraid of TikTok.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of lesbians of a certain age, it's not going to work.
We're not going near it. Yeah.
How you doing over there, Francis? What did this conversation make you think about your own social media use?
You know, it had such clarity that I was happiest on social media when it wasn't about me. And it's the self-promotion part is not, when that's the main dish, I just want to hide from it.
Yeah.
How about you?
Well, the people I admire most on these platforms are bringing a sense of joy and freedom to the task that they really communicate. So that's what I aspire to. I think for me to get there, I have to get over interacting with it as this like nightmarish, addictive hustle machine. For me, I think the liberation moment is thinking of it as a short form version of what we do in long form. We do it in podcasts. We write books. I'm not self-distracted writing books. I'm not thinking, I'm not like, you know, wondering how the world's going to react. And so I think getting in touch with that mission.
I love that. You know, there's so many things that we could take the advice that we just gave to Chris.
Yeah, that's good. That's really helpful framing. And that gives me a lot of ideas for where to go and to play. And I also think that's the word. That's the word, yeah. I need to bring to this to find the freedom is how can we play on these,
yeah,
what can be magnificent platforms in terms of connection and communication. All right, everyone, that's our show. Thank you for listening. And listen, we want to hear from you too. If you want to figure out your own workplace problem with us, we may also have it. send us a message, email us at fixable@ted.com or call us at 234-FIXABLE. That's 234-349-2253.
Fixing is a process. We can fix it even if we don't know how to do it.
Exactly. Fixable is brought to you by the TED Audio Collective. It's hosted by me, Anne Morris.
And me, Frances Fry.
Our team includes Isabel Carter, Constanza Gallardo, Lydia Jean Cott, Grace Rubenstein, Sarah Nix, Michelle Quint, Corey Hagem, Alejandra Salazar, Ban Ban Chang, and Roxanne Highlash.
We'll be bringing you new episodes of Fixable every week. So make sure to follow the show, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. That way, they'll always be downloaded and ready to go when you're ready to listen.
And one more thing, if you can, please take a second to leave us a review. We love hearing from our listeners.